Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
Casper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper
and Murray.
Casper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper and Murray.
All right, it's your final hour here, Casper and Murray. No Murray, you got me, Christian Arkin, here alongside Christopher L. Gasper and Brian T. Robb. I just noticed I got two middle initial guys in here today.
You do.
Brian T. Robb, Christopher L. Gasper, and me, Christian D. Arkant.
Oh, I like that. Christian D. Arkant.
Yeah,
use that more.
I should.
You really should.
I should use the full name, really. You know, like Kevin Paul DuPont. What's with you Globe people and your full names, by the way?
I don't know. So my middle initial is L, and that's from my uncle Lee, who passed away.
Okay.
So that's sort of my tribute to him. That's why
cool.
I use it.
Brian T. Robb, we got a story there, too, or no?
Not really. I just needed a Twitter handle.
There you go. And someone already had Brian Robb.
Exactly.
Makes sense. My middle name is DiGiovanni, and that is my mother's maiden name. And I think I should go with that, Christian DiGiovanni Arkant, because that covers a variety of different ethnicities, so keeps people on their toes there. You got the Christian, that's the Danish name. Arkant is French-Canadian. DiGiovanni, as you know, is very Irish, so there you are. Anyways, yeah, that's who we are. We'd like to talk with you at 617-779-0985. That is your phone number here. We'll continue with our NBA conversation. We'll circle back to the Patriots as well. Cutdown day continues. Really only one big name on there. That's Lamar Miller's been released. They still have a few more cuts to go, so we'll get you all of that news and update here before the 4 o'clock deadline, which you'll be going through with Matt McCarthy when he jumps on here at 2 o'clock. In the meantime, let's return to the phones at 617-779-0985 and talk to Nate, who is in Boston with a thought on Giannis Antetokounmpo. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, guys. I'm going to have to disagree with your take on if Giannis goes to Miami, it won't be as bad as Kevin Durant. I think if they do not win the next game, if they get swept, and Giannis, who is probably going to be the next MVP, so you're going to have a back-to-back MVP plus Defensive Player of the Year, get swept, not even make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and go to the team that beats him. I'm sorry. I think that's way worse than Kevin Durant. I mean, at least with Durant, they were 3-1. They were up 3-1 against the Warriors. It was still bad, but he showed that he could beat that team. For Giannis to leave like this, I just think it's going to be really bad.
Yeah, except the Heat aren't a 73-win team, don't you? I mean, don't you see how that's different? Like, if you join a team...
Which makes it worse, though.
No, I think that makes it bad. If you're joining a team like the Heat, that's different from signing up to be on a team that already won 73 games. That's literally capitulating. At least you're going to a team that beat you. That's true. I mean, but that's the same thing with Durant. Durant joined the best team ever. Durant joined the dream team. That's not what Giannis is going to be doing. That's different.
Yeah, I understand. I just hope he doesn't get swept. This is going to be really bad for his legacy.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be bad regardless.
That's a good point. I mean, it will be. And the other thing, I mean, we're talking about this. B-Rob, jump in and correct me if I'm wrong, but, I mean, Giannis isn't a free agent until next summer, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so it's 2021.
Right.
Now, look, he could obviously ask out, and I feel like the rumors are percolating in the bubble.
There's no option this offseason, though, right?
They can offer him a supermax this offseason.
That's right.
So if he turns that down, then it's like, oh.
Gotcha.
I like how you put that. That should be a billboard in Milwaukee. Like, you know, if Giannis was offered the supermax, and if he turns it down, Milwaukee.
Rut-row, Raggy.
Yeah.
Do you trade him if he turns it down?
Like that. Yeah. I think you have to. I mean, it's hard. It's a little bit like,
it's a good
point,
yeah.
A little bit like Lionel Messi, you know, and what's going on over there. with Barcelona, where it's like at that point the guy definitely wants to go, but it's you know if that guy goes, it's over. But I think objectively, wouldn't you have to trade him and try and get the most you could for him?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you'd have to. And it would be sort of like the Red Sox Mookie Betts situation where it's like, yeah, it'd be great to have this guy for a year, but we're probably not going to be able to keep him, so let's not offer them that much. We know that we have them over a barrel, and that's what happened with the Red Sox and Verdugo and all that.
Or do you do this? Or do you sort of do like a Toronto situation? And when I say Toronto, I mean basically building a team to go all in for 1 year. Do you do a Toronto situation and say, no, we're going to keep him, and we're going to go all in for 1 year, and we're going to hope that winning a championship changes his mind, and if he walks, he walks?
Yeah,
that's not a bad plan.
You know who else could help this team? Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah.
But you got that late first round pick for this offseason, so that's good.
Yeah, they really could use Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah. Although Brogdon didn't exactly
bring
the heat in Indiana, but yeah. I thought he was a better fit with Milwaukee than he was on the Pacers. That being said, it's if Giannis leaves, if Giannis ends up leaving next year even, I mean, unless they win it all next year and then he leaves after that, then you're looking at a long and tough time there with Milwaukee. And I'm not really sure what they should have done differently. Should they have tried to stack that team up and make them a super team around Giannis? Or
it's hard to do.
When you have how many games did they win this year? They were on pace to win like 70, right? Or not, maybe not 70.
Yeah, before the bubble, I think they like wrote off. He got hurt right before the end, before the season was suspended, but they were on pace for 70 for like at least half the season.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they look like that with this team as currently constituted. And I know that right now they're having all sorts of trouble from Giannis on down, but I don't feel like they did him wrong. I don't feel like they did wrong by Giannis. I think they did okay putting the team around.
Yeah, they did the best they could. I mean, it's hard to recruit guys. I mean, and my question would be at this point, what do they have in terms of assets to try and improve the team? You know, like who could they deal off?
Eric Bledsoe.
Right.
Not much value.
Yeah. I mean, who else really is there that they can deal that would, I mean, you could hope that somebody thinks DiVincenzo could be something, but they don't really have a lot.
You could get some for Lopez, probably.
You think so?
Yeah.
He's an aging guy.
He's an aging three-point shooting big, though.
And he's a good fit for their team.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just, like, who would you move?
Good question. You know,
they're kind of locked in.
They are.
Like, this has to work. If it doesn't, everybody's screwed.
Yeah. You know, and that's what happens when you invest in role players like that, which is a good thing. I think it's good that they did that. They did invest in a lot of role players, and they have a very deep team. It's just they're all cold right now.
Yeah.
It's a cold.
But even the idea of, like, sort of getting lucky at the end of the draft, and maybe you find somebody. Maybe you find, like, a Draymond Green, or there's some guy at the end of the first round. The Celtics have their pick.
It's true.
Celtics have their first round pick.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So it's how are you going to improve this team?
Yeah. Well, the Milwaukee Bucks could be escorted right out of the Orlando bubble as soon as tomorrow. The Celtics tonight taking on the Toronto Raptors, and I don't know if like must win is a term that gets thrown around a lot, these days. For Toronto, it's obviously must win because you don't want to go down 3-1. I think last game was clearly a must win game for them, but the Celtics, you don't want to let Toronto back into this series. I think this is just as much a must-win for Boston as it is for Toronto. You do not want to let them even this series back out. That first of all, would add to this adversity, which you were talking about, Gasper. Yeah. The playoffs don't start till there's adversity. All right, well, there it was, right there in Game 3. Now, in Game 4, you got more adversity. That's not reacting to it well. And let's also observe the fact here that Game 1, the Celtics won that game pretty easily. Games 2 and 3 were very hard-fought, close games. I mean, if you thought the Celtics were just going to walk all over these guys after what happened in that bubble game regular season, and they did blow them out in that game. In Game 1, they handled them pretty well, but these last two games, close games. I think that's what the rest of the series is more likely to look like than the blowouts that you saw in Game 1 and in that regular season Game 2. I don't think you're going to see too much more of that. This is going to be pretty hard fought. I just hope the Celtics are on the right side of it. 617-779-0985. That is your phone number. Celtics still on the table. We'll circle back to the Patriots. A couple more cuts to tell you about here for the Patriots. And as we get closer and closer to week one with them and week one with the NFL, which is on Thursday. All that coming up right after this.
Gasper and Murr. 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murr. You will listen. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Cam, throughout your career, we've seen you rushed the ball well over 100 times, you know, in many of the seasons that you've played in the NFL. Do you feel physically like you could still run the ball 130 times, 120 times, and be able to, you know, play the entire season still?
As long as I have legs, I think I'll have the ability to. It's just making myself available when needed, if asked to do so, and we'll go from there.
Thanks, Cam.
Ben Volen, followed by Aiden Curran.
Sorry, Volen, not getting to your question. I just wanted to hear Cam do it. As long as he has legs, he'll have the ability. It just depends on what the coach wants him to do. Well, there's no one to throw to, Cam, so you might have to run a lot. Not to mention, they just cut Lamar Miller, too, so it's one less running back for you to hand off to. Is Cam going to have to run a lot this year, Gasper? I mean, is that going to be part of the offense? Cam Newton, not just scrambling, not just getting out of the pocket, but Cam Newton taking off and running to pick up first downs and to get in the end zone.
My belief, I do think that there will be some design runs in there, and there'll be some actions that take advantage of the threat of Cam Newton running. I do think that's going to be part of the offense that the Patriots incorporate. And something I said yesterday on Felger and Maz, I think when you look at the skill position core that the Patriots have, in many ways, Cam Newton is a better fit than Tom Brady. Because if you have a traditional passing offense, there's not the weapons here to really make that work.
Right.
Where a guy who can also add the element of his legs being a threat, defenses have to account for that. He can also do stuff from an improvisational standpoint with his legs. That can help you make up for the lack of skill position guys you have. So in that way, Cam Newton maybe gives this Patriots offense more of a margin for error than they would have with a more traditional style of quarterback, including Tom Brady.
Yeah, I just sort of realized now you can put James White in the backfield and still run the ball. You know, like they know when James White's out there, you know that they were that Brady was going to drop back to pass. They knew that every single time. Now Cam Newton can, you know, be out there with James White, and then Newton can take off and run. And that would at least be one of those things. Like, that was one of the things with the offense that was very kind of predictable, is if Michelle was out there, you're running the ball, or he's, you know, staying back to pass block. And if it was James White, then you're going to see a pass probably out into the flats. And that was something that you just came to expect, and I think other teams. So when you hear Cam Newton, even McDaniels and some of these other guys talk about, well, they've never seen anything like this before. That's true. They haven't. I mean, there's not been a quarterback like this. Even, you know, Brissett and Garoppolo, those guys can move around a little bit, but they're not these big hulking guys who can run into a linebacker and fall forward into the end zone. I mean, that's, you haven't had that here ever, right?
Yeah, and you're not, you know, you haven't really seen them be able to effectively run, mm-hmm. you know, read option stuff and stuff of that nature. And I think they can do some of that stuff this year. And I think you will see some of that stuff. So that's good. And it's going to help Newton compensate and the team compensate for the lack of quality pass catchers, which to me, you know, that's sort of the number one thing my eye is on today, Arcan. Do the Patriots try and do anything in terms of, in the next couple of days, really, bolstering that wide receiving core? Does somebody get released around the league? Is there a roster crunch at a certain position and the Patriots can jump in with one of their 1 million compensatory picks and try and snag somebody to upgrade that spot?
They might as well try, because right now they today have already released Devin Ross, Jeff Thomas, the rookie, and Andre Bocellia, I think his name is. Andre
Bocellia. I don't know how to pronounce it.
The one of the three tenors, I believe he was. Or no, Bocellia wasn't one of the three tenors. That was Pavarotti and those other two guys. Bocellia's the blind guy, right? Isn't he blind? I think Andrea Bocelli is this blind singer who's like the man. But anyway, he's not on the Patriots anymore. And now you're really left with this. You are left with N'Keal Harry, Julian Edelman, Demir Byrd, Jacoby Myers, Gunnar Olszewski, and Isaiah Zuber, whoever that is. Everybody else has been released, including Mohamed Sanu, which happened earlier this week. And that really, I think, goes to show that Mohamed Sanu was not just having a tough camp. In order to stand out as bad in that group of wide receivers, you have to like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to really, like, running the wrong way, or, like, you know, like, missed, showed up at 10 instead of 8:30, you know, like, something along those lines. I feel like in order to, because they didn't wait until today. They knew that it wasn't going to work with Mo Sanu, like, 2 days ago.
Well, I think part of that, and I've seen Bill do this before, Belichick's done this before, part of that is out of respect. He'll do this with a veteran guy and say, hey, I want you to have an opportunity to catch on before there's a million players out there. And I know John Lynch in San Francisco was talking about Sanu and how Sanu knows their system. Last year, the 49ers were interested in Sanu. They got outbid by the Patriots and ended up with Emmanuel Sanders, who basically could have won the Super Bowl if Jimmy G had been more accurate.
Right.
So that was sort of serendipitous for San Francisco, but they might have some interest in Sanu. He played for Shanahan in Atlanta. But I do want to talk a little more about the receivers, mm-hmm. Arkan. And I think if you're the Patriots, here's what I would do. Just looking around the league, here are some teams that I would be interested in talking to and seeing if I can get a receiver from. And I want to run some names by you, and you tell me what you think.
Okay.
All right. Team number one, Jacksonville Jaguars. They have three guys at receiver who are going to be free agents after this year. And they brought in LaVisca Chenault, was a high draft pick
for
them. My
Colorado guy, by the way.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right. And they also brought in Colin Johnson. And they have three guys, D.D. Westbrook, Keelan Cole, Chris Conley, all free agents at the end of the year. Would you have interest in any of those guys?
Yeah, sure. I'd have interest in Westbrook for sure. Cole, I don't know as much about. Chris Conley, I remember. He was on the Chiefs, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember him. He's a pretty good player. I'd have interest in all three of them, really. I mean, compared to what you have right now, I'd take a good look at all three of them. I think Westbrook's probably the best in that group. Or he's, you know, the what I've seen, I've liked him the most. But, yeah, I'd be interested in them.
Me too. And I think clearly Jacksonville is tanking for Trevor Lawrence. They basically dismantled their team. So maybe you can get something for one of those guys. Maybe it's a fourth-round pick. You should have extra fourth-round picks in the compensatory realm
right.
with Van Noy and Colin. So that's one team. Houston Texans. What about a guy like Keke Coutee? You know, he might be on. You read the tea leaves down in Houston. He might be a guy that they're willing to move on from, even this early in his career. Would you have interest in him? Slot guy from Texas Tech?
Yeah, I like him. I don't know what he can really do yet. You know, I think he's shown, he's flashed at times, but he's also a guy who, you know, you remember even like someone like Wes Welker back in the day used to always kill the Patriots, but you didn't really see him too much other than that. When the Patriots picked him up, they turned him into something. I think they could do that with a guy like Coutee. I think those are the type of wide receivers that they should be targeting, because Bills had really good success converting guys, bringing guys in, and sort of plugging them right into that offense. He's great with slot guys for the most part, not every single one of them. But I take a look at that, and I think that the Texans would be not, you know, eager to get rid of him, but between Cooks and Randall Cobb and Will Fuller, you're not yeah. talking about, you know, it's kind of all the same sort of little fast guy there. And, yeah, I think Coutee would be a good fit with the Patriot. Would I give up a ton to get him? Probably not. You know, I wouldn't give you a high draft pick, but I'd definitely kick the tire, sure.
Yeah, I would too. And also remember this, in a year with coronavirus, Josh McDaniels said this recently, there is some crossover carryover between Houston's offense and the Patriots offense.
Mm-hmm.
So Coutee could get up to speed a little bit faster. Next team on my list.
Hang on a second.
Yes.
You don't just pull Keke Coutee out of the clear blue sky, do you? I mean, are you is this informed speculation here?
No, I mean okay. Well, yes and no. I mean, but it's not informed to the like a Schefter you know, Rappaport thing. It's
right.
Just you talk to, you know, some other reporters at times, and you read up on what's happening with other teams and guys that might be on the chopping block, and that's sort of where it goes. But
okay.
No, is this directly from Bill O'Brien? It is not. It is not from
or
Bill
from
O'Brien.
Someone, you know, in New England, maybe with the source over there and tells you, yeah, we're really into that.
I have heard from some NFL sources that the Patriots are looking at wide receivers. They're looking mm-hmm. around the league, but I don't think that's like breaking news. I mean,
yeah,
if
right.
you had that receiving core, you'd be looking.
Sure. I mean, you'd be kind of crazy not to. All right, last team.
Okay. I have two more teams, actually.
Oh, okay.
All right. Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones are both free agents. I don't think Galladay's going anywhere, but Jones is 30. They probably can't re-sign both of those guys. Bob Quinn, who worked here with the Patriots, Matt Patricia, obviously the former defensive coordinator. I think both those guys need to win this year to keep their jobs. I don't even know if they would deal Marvin Jones, but if they would you give up, say, a third-round pick for Marvin Jones?
What's Jones make?
I don't know.
So you have
I can look it up.
His contract, because I feel like he's a guy who's a little, I consider him to be overpaid, like one of those name wide receivers who ended up getting a contract and didn't really deserve it and didn't play up to it. But I might be thinking of somebody else. So if the money's negligible, and if it is, I'd say, yeah, I'd maybe look at a third or a, you know, high fourth for a guy like Jones.
No, Marvin Jones. Interestingly enough, Marvin Jones this year, his base salary is $6.5 million.
Okay.
That number sound familiar?
Yeah, it does. Sounds yeah. a lot like what they paid number 17 last year.
Correct. Correct.
It's not, I mean, that's not a ton. That's not break the bank type stuff right there. But $7 million for Jones, I'd feel a lot better if it was $3 or $4 million. But third round pick, I'd do a fourth for him. I'd do a fourth for him.
Totally do a third-round pick for him. Now, remember, the Patriots are missing a third-round pick because of the Cincinnati taping situation, but they're expected to get a compensatory one for Tom Brady, so they would have one. Last year, Marvin Jones, 62 catches, 779 yards, and 9 touchdowns.
It's a good year.
I don't think the Lions are going to deal him because that team needs to win this year. Those guys need to win to keep their job, but I'm just throwing that they're not going to be able to retain both Golladay and Marvin Jones. So even if it's not now, maybe if that team gets off to a bad start at the trade deadline, he's there. Last team, Cincinnati Bengals. They have a lot of receivers. They drafted T. Higgins.
Right.
Let me throw some names at you. One guy I would throw at you, John Ross.
Yeah, I like Rush.
Yeah, he's a speedster, hasn't been able to stay healthy. Would you be interested in him? He's in a situation where he's in a contract year. They didn't pick up his option. I did talk to somebody out in Cincinnati, and he thinks that they're not going to make Ross available. They still like him. They still think they can squeeze something out of him. He had 7 touchdown receptions in 2018. Last year he had 3, but he hasn't been able to stay on the field.
I think because Green's probably gone, that they'd really squeeze you for someone like Ross, and it probably would be worth they'd ask for more than he's worth. But I like him. I like Ross. I think Ross could be a real contributor on the Patriots, and I think no matter who the quarterback is, he's one of those guys that can kind of use his skill set for either a short passing game or a long passing game. That said, do they want to, knowing that Green's probably gone, do they want to take him away from Joe Burrow like that? They just re-up Joe Mixon. Like, I feel like he's gonna be a guy they really would have to pry free. And if that's the case, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it if you have to really overpay for him, and I bet you would have to.
And that's the question there with Joe Burrow there. They want to set him up and put him in a position to succeed.
Yeah.
You know, my understanding is they're a stubborn team, too. Mm. You could say, hey, they should trade A.J. Green. They're not going to do it, at least not until the trade deadline. They want to see how their season goes, from what I understand, and they want to give Joe Burrow the best chance to succeed, the number one overall pick. Maybe a more realistic option. I don't know if you know this guy on the Bengals. The Bengals have a lot of receivers. They're about 8 deep at this receiver position from what I've been able to ascertain. Alex Erickson, sort of shifty slot guy, fits the Patriot mold, came out of Wisconsin, 27 years old. He's a guy that the Patriots have looked at before last year, 43 catches, 529 yards. He has 1 career touchdown reception, which is not very appealing.
Right.
But he is a proven sort of NFL receiver, and he definitely fits the mold of what they like. He also was a return guy. He can also return punts and kicks.
Yeah. Do you know they got Stanley Morgan's kid, too?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Stanley Morgan Jr., that's got to be, right?
Is that his kid? I thought it wasn't. Is it?
Wait a minute. There's a Stanley Morgan Jr., and it's not Stanley Morgan Sr.'s
kid? I don't think that's his kid,
really?
Believe it or not. The guy who played for Nebraska?
Yeah.
I don't think that's his kid.
That's not Stanley from the Patriots? Really?
I'll keep talking, but I'm pretty sure that's not his kid.
I'm looking it up.
I could
right
be
now.
Wrong. But Alex Erickson might be somebody that the Patriots could target. He'd help them in the return game. I don't think he'd cost that much. I mean, probably like a 5th-round pick. You know, young guy, going to be a free agent, doesn't make a lot of money, sort of fits that Belichick mold. He's on the books this year for $1.6 million. I would just be intrigued. If I'm the Patriots, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm calling around to those teams and trying to figure out if they'll do a deal. And I'll throw 2 more teams on here real quick. You don't have to respond to the names, but just Tennessee Titans. Adam Humphries is there. Didn't blow anybody away last year in Tennessee. They now have A.J. Brown. Would they do that? Corey Davis didn't have his 5th-year option picked up by the Titans. He's in the last year of his deal. He's played well against the Patriots in the past. He's one of the reasons probably Malcolm Butler got benched for the Super Bowl. When you look at it, Bill has a history of being interested in guys who play well against him. So could he do a deal with Jonathan Robinson, who worked here, and obviously Mike Vrabel with Tennessee? Would they be willing to give up one of those guys? And then the Arizona Cardinals, again, they're just deep at receiver. Keyshawn Johnson, not that Keyshawn Johnson, this Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah, Keyshawn.
Yeah, from Fresno State.
Right.
Maybe he's on. They just released Hakeem Butler, so I don't think they're going to really do too much here. But Andy Isabella, the kid from UMass who can fly, maybe they'd be willing to part with one of those guys, because now they have Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins, and Christian Kirk as their top 3 guys. But the release of Hakeem Butler, who was a draft pick for them not too long ago, seems to indicate that maybe they're going to hold on to some of those guys. What did you find out about
We have some breaking news, B-Rob.
Oh, we do?
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Breaking news. Stanley Morgan Jr. is not related to Stanley Morgan.
I thought this was real breaking news.
It's not real breaking news. Sorry, everybody. I gave you the old okey-doke there.
You really
Stanley
did.
Morgan Jr. and Stanley Morgan of the Patriots, not related. Not related at all.
I told
sorry
you.
Sorry about that, everybody.
Yeah, I had a feeling. I thought this was real news. I, like, jumped to Twitter. I'm like, what do the Patriots do? And it's just that Stanley, like, it's just basically what I told you, that Stanley Morgan Jr. is not related to the Patriots,
that
Stanley
right.
Morgan.
I had the same reaction when he told me. Like, I hit the sounder.
I'm just messing with you guys. All right. 617-779-0985 is the phone number to your phones right after this.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Morning, Bill.
Hey, Ben.
Word came out yesterday that Cam Newton was named the starter. Just what have you seen from him throughout camp? And what's the about him that...
Yeah, I'm not. We're not naming any. We're not naming any starters in any positions. So, you know, any conversations that I have with the team will stay between me and the team. But we're not naming any roster starters or positions or who's on the team or anything else like that. So, well, sorry, I have to bypass that one.
Sorry, Ben. Sorry, buddy. Not today. Not getting that one past old Bill. This is Christian Arcan here alongside Chris Gasper, Brian Robb back there behind the glass. Phones at 617-779-0985. You were laughing there, Gasper, because we all sort of know what's going on here.
Yeah. Well, I'm laughing also because
this isn't a democracy here. Like we know what's going on.
I mean, I'm laughing not just because he didn't want to give up the information. That's not really why I'm laughing. I'm laughing just at the whole idea of, you know, this idea of a quarterback competition. I mean, there was no, this whole thing was a giant conceit. And the outcome was predetermined. The moment Cam Newton signed here, he was the starter, barring crazy unforeseen circumstances like Jared Stidham playing like Aaron Rodgers and Cam Newton losing an arm. Like, other than that, like, he was going to be the starting quarterback. And I think Bill crafted this thing so that it builds some confidence for Cam Newton. He feels like he won something when he really did not. I mean, he was always going to be the starter, and I think it gives Newton some credit in the locker room. He sort of gets a little street cred with his teammates as a new Patriot because he had to earn his job. But I mean, this whole competition wasn't a competition, and that's not my opinion, by the way. Like, when he signed, I was told that. I was told this was how it was going to go down. Cam Newton's here to be the starter. Bill's never going to say that. Bill's going to run a phony competition in camp, but just, you know, Chris, that Cam Newton's the starter. That's how it was presented to me, and that's exactly how it went down.
That sounds to me like that was almost more about Stidham than it was Cam Newton, right?
It's legit.
That sounds like that was almost more. If you were told that, that means they're basically telling you it's not going to be Jared Stidham. We brought this guy in, and he's going to be the starter, and we've already made up our mind it's not going to be number four over there. So, sorry, everybody. Sorry, all both of you Jared Stidham fans, which, by the way, Jared Stidham fan, you've heard me say this before, Gasper, don't exist. There's no such thing as a Jared Stidham fan. You know, like, I'm his wife and his family and his friends and all that. They're Jared Stidham fans. But as far as, like, the Patriots, the grander scheme of Patriots fans go, no one was really a Jared Stidham fan because everybody, as soon as Cam Newton got here, said, well, whatever Bill says, I guess that's the way to go. Just admit you're a Bill Belichick fan. You like whatever he does, and that you never really liked Jared Stidham, even though you screamed and yelled, well, Bill likes Stidham, so I like Stidham. No, he actually doesn't like Stidham. You can use your own eyes. You don't just have to blindly follow whatever Bill says and does. And in this case, you know, we'll see. Cam Newton brought in here, they told you right away, Cam's brought here to be the starter. There's no competition. It's just going to be his thing. That means they're telling you, we brought him in because Jared Stidham can't be our starter. We don't want him.
Yeah, I think they realized that Stidham was not a viable or reliable option for what they want to accomplish this year, which is to be a playoff team, to continue contending. And I think they realize that Stidham's not ready. Now, the jury's still out on Stidham. I wouldn't condemn him. I don't think he's done. I can see why they like him, and they do like him. There are times, I'll tell you, I watch him in training camp, and it's like, you're like, man, this guy looks the part. Like, he looks legit. He looks like a franchise quarterback. The issue is he's inconsistent. You know, one throw, it comes out super fast, and he's accurate, and you're like, man, that looks like Garoppolo or Drew Brees.
Yeah.
And then another throw, you're like, what is he doing? Like, where is this pass going? Why is it lollipopping to the sideline? And what are you doing here? So, you know, my take on Stidham, and this is just an opinion, I think that when he's really confident in where he wants to go, he looks great. And then I think sometimes he's overconfident in his knowledge of the offense. So, for example, he doesn't know exactly where he wants to go, or maybe more accurately, his first read has been taken away, and he's like, I know where I should go with this. I'm going here. And he throws it, and it's an awful decision and a pick six. I think he's one of those guys that thinks he knows more than he really does.
Yeah, that could certainly be the case. And, well, I think we all got the full scoop on what this team thinks about him and his prospects of being the starter. And I didn't know that. I didn't know it was presented to you that way. But, I mean,
yeah,
that's
the way it was presented.
Not surprising, really. I mean, it's not surprising at all. And that's the way it's sort of been treated. And outside of a couple of times here and there, Bill saying, well, it's still a competition. Everybody has a right to fight for their position. You haven't heard anything really all that great about Jarrett Stidham. You just haven't. Cam Newton's been better, and he's going to be the starter. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. When we come back, we will have five questions with Chris Gasper. That's coming up right after this.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I got five questions for Chris Gasper of Channel 5. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five! One, two, three, four.
All right, time for five questions with Chris Gasper. And it's usually Murray who does this, but I'm in today, and I like to continue the people's segments. I don't like, you know, sometimes people come on at night and they're like, oh, I don't want to do the Dong Report. I don't want to do Game of Jones. I don't want to do that. Do it. Do it. Learn it. Become one with it. That way, people who are listening aren't like, oh, well, Arcan's in. He's not going to do the five questions. It's my favorite part of the show. You know, you don't want to be thought of as someone who doesn't do the things that people like, right? That's how I feel about it anyway. Anyway, let's get to it, Gasper. Here's question number one. What do you do to recover from a poor night of sleep?
Ooh, that's a very good question.
Very good question.
Recover from a poor night of sleep.
Yeah.
I tell you, I have these, like, vitamins that I'm taking now, and it's supposed to be like a swift kick of energy. So I'll have like a couple of those and maybe like a Diet Coke for a little caffeine.
Okay, so you're not like a napper.
No, I will nap, but I mean, you can't nap at work, so you gotta have to just power through.
Au contraire, mon frère, yes, you can.
I mean, I nap
here all the time.
Unless you're George Costanza with the bed desk, remember that he
right,
built like
yeah.
the bed in his desk. How are you gonna nap at work?
It's not easy, but I manage to do it when Jones is really boring. Let's see.
Oh, that's good.
Question number two: you only get one vice, Chris Gasper. What do you pick? Could be candy, could be tacos, could be soda, could be beer. What would be the one vice you would pick if you only got one?
Oh, barbecue. I love barbecue. Yeah, any sort of barbecue. Oh man, Franklin, barbecue in Austin, Texas. Hopefully one day I'll get to go back there when we can like travel again. But man, yeah.
That sounds cool.
I would wait in line for that place for 5 hours. I almost have. That place is great.
Are you familiar with this service where you can buy food from like other states?
No.
And they ship it to you like frozen?
No, I'm not familiar with this.
All right, so a friend of mine was supposed to come hang out. We were hanging out in Quincy last night, just like two or three of us. And one of our friends was supposed to come, and he's like, I can't. I'm hanging out at home. My cousin's here, and he just ordered some like barbecue from Tennessee. And I was like, what do you mean you ordered barbecue from Tennessee? They shipped it from Tennessee? He's like, yeah, that's exactly what I mean. It's this new service. You can get deep dish pizza from Chicago. You can get barbecue from Tennessee. You can ship lobsters from, you know, here to somewhere else.
Ooh, that
it's this
good.
Whole thing. It's totally unnecessary and very expensive, but it does exist. So, yeah, you could expand your vice that way. Mine would be seafood, mostly steamed clams. Big fan of the steamers. Number three, have you ever quit a job, and what was your breaking point?
Have I ever quit a job? I think I quit my first job, which was working at a shoe store, Shoe Town in Saugus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to, my breaking point.
Did you walk out in the shift? Like,
no, I didn't. I think I just
threw down that little measuring thing.
I think I was
just
kind of like, I think I just was like, I don't really want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't think I really had a breaking point in that job. I was just like, hey, trying to match up mismatched shoes or searching for the left shoe. Then when someone comes to me with the right, not my favorite thing. So, yeah, I think, but the breaking point, no, I don't think there was really like a breaking point. I just was kind of like, it was like a summer job. It's like I'm going back to school. I don't want to do this while I'm in high school, like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good on Shoe Town.
This would be a good question for Big Jim. I feel like he's probably got a few of
these,
right?
Oh, my God, yes, I'm
just
sure
like at radio stations in the
I
area.
I mean, he tells one on the air all the time. He left a job at a radio station. He left onions in the ceiling.
Right, yeah.
This is really panel, more of a Jim question.
I had one job like this. I worked at a sub shop in Boulder.
Yeah.
And the guy who owned it was a total D-bag. And he used to, we'd all line up. Like, when you work at a sandwich place, someone's on bread, someone's on topping, someone's on meat, and then someone's on the register. I was on bread. It was like my third or fourth day, and I'm cutting the bread, and this guy walks up to me while I'm cutting the bread and shoves me out of the way. And it had really been sort of boiling up. Like, I really didn't like this guy anyway, and that just did. I just right there took my apron off. I screamed, bleep you, in front of everybody, including all these customers, and I stormed out the door. And I've never done that before. I've never done anything like it
wow,
since.
Wow, our kid.
But that was the, I mean, that was
nice.
About as rough, as bad as it ever got for me. And it felt good. I'll tell you what, it felt great. Oh, God, I walked out that door. I felt like, at the end of, you remember that movie with Daniel Day-Lewis and The Name of the Father?
Yes.
He's like, I'm a free man. I'm walking out the front door. That's how I felt. I felt like Daniel Day-Lewis in that movie. All right, question number four. Would you rather people text you or call you?
Text me.
Text you?
Yeah,
do you hate, like, phone calls? Or you
no, I don't hate. I mean, okay. I like phone calls. I still, but it's just a little bit easier. And I will say there's a tipping point. Like, if you're trying to get my attention, you know, text me. But if you need to have some long, involved conversation about, like a lot of times it's like, oh, you know, what are we going to order for dinner? Or, like, you know, hey, let's talk about this, like, tax thing. It's like, well, then call me. But if you're just trying to, you know, hey, I just need to talk to you about something real quick, then just text me and let me know what's up. But I do hate over text when somebody tries to have, like, a long, involved, like, intricate conversation. Because in my head, I'm thinking, like, okay, we could do this in a phone conversation in 5 minutes.
Too much typing going on here.
Yeah.
You know what I hate is the text call trap where someone texts you, you text them back, and then they call you because they know you're there.
Oh, I do that.
Oh, man, really?
Yeah.
I have some dignity, Gasper. Have some class.
It's like, yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, now, especially, it tells you, too, a lot of times it will tell you if someone read your text or not.
Yeah. You got to turn that off.
And it will also tell that person if you read their text. So it's tricky.
It's true. You got to really navigate these waters. And finally, Christopher L. Gasper, question five. What is something most people don't know about you?
Oh, geez. What is something most people don't know about me?
You really liked working in that shoe store.
I don't know. I mean, I think people know, like, most things about, I mean, I was going to say, like, I mean, I don't know. I'm a Marvel comic book geek, but I think people already know that. I don't know. I feel like working with Jim, I pretty much share all aspects of my life.
True.
On the air here.
Yeah. Not much left of the imagination.
No, I'm a simpleton.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. I don't know things people don't know about me. I told you my middle name today. That's a pretty
well,
big
does everybody know you're a DJ? Do people know that?
Know that I'm DJ Alexi?
Yeah.
I don't think so. My alternative identity, I think, has been kept a pretty good secret here.
Okay.
By the way, the name of that food delivery is called Gold Belly.
Yeah, I saw someone tweet
Gold
at us. That's pretty cool.
So if you ever want to order, I don't know, Rocky Mountain oysters from Colorado.
Sounds like a Bond villain.
You
Gold
can do that.
Gold Belly.
Gold Belly. that's like one of the Bond villains. They're like, yeah, he's fat and he's got a gold belly. I don't know. Let's try something else. Maybe gold finger. I don't know. Let's see. Yeah, there we go. That's all the time we have here. Matt McCarthy is getting ready to jump on next. Hello, Mr. McCarthy. How you doing?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
Happy holiday weekend.
Yes.
It never feels like holidays to us.
No, but it really does.
It is what it is.
A happy Saturday to you. What do you have coming up today?
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.